Well, hello, everybody. This is episode 21, and I decided to call it the rebranding of America, or things that should matter, because as we go through our lives, we come in contact with people, and sometimes they say some of the dumbest things, and sometimes they say some of the greatest things, but we need to be involved. And when people talk about certain rights or laws or how they're going to vote, I think it's important to be involved in a way to where we can kind of try to extol upon them or try to teach them in a good way why you feel the way you do and why you're going to vote the way you're going to, without getting into an argument. So with that having been said, we're going to get right to it in the rebranding of America.
Hump Day! Yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
So today, I had mentioned a little bit about Thanksgiving last week and how we should think about things that we can be thankful for. And I was thinking, you know, I did mention our government and the world in which we live and having a country that is free. And I thought, you know, as much as I think about politics 24/7 most of the time and watch anything that has to do with what's going on in the world, I think I'd like to talk a little bit about the importance of the fact that we do have a free country and what that should mean to each of us. Because it's easy to sit there and bitch about everything and complain and, you know, whatever the thing is that's going on, like a Confederate flag or somebody's offended or wah, wah, wah. And that's great, and it needs to be discussed. And our politicians are always saying we need to have a debate about that, but somehow never seem to have a debate about that. And I think that's because the news is just so whitewashed anymore that it's borderline propaganda, depending on who you're listening to and what side of the fence you're on. But the simple fact is it really shouldn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a conservative or a liberal. You have skin in the game because this is where you live too. I think a lot of the problems that we face in this country are things that we bring upon ourselves as a people that vote, and we get caught up in all of these rantings and ravings, and we think it's a good cause and something should be done about it. You know, a lot of people that have maybe had things happen and now they don't like guns. And then there's those people that had things happen and they're glad they had a gun. It's just odd that if you look at some of the statistics, and we were going to actually honestly have a debate, that is, you know, the statistics of states that allow a lot of gun rights and concealed carry and shall issue and such like that, their crime rate is really low. It is not like the Wild West. And the Wild West wasn't as violent as the streets of Chicago are right now. And a lot of the states that have really severe gun laws have the highest crime. So if you want to have a debate, what does all that mean? You know, well, it kind of means to me if people are armed and you know everyone's armed and it might be concealed, are you going to be a total jackass when someone cuts you off on the highway? Are you going to go pull around them and brake check them and lock it up and stop them and get out and start yelling when you know they might have a gun? Wouldn't you be a little more polite? Now, it's not to say that you need to live your life in fear that a person has a gun, because most gun owners are very cautious and safe. And the people that, you know, go around shooting people and robbing places, they are criminals. So it doesn't matter if you have a gun law or not. They're carrying their guns concealed even if they live in Chicago, where it's illegal to carry a concealed weapon. Hell, it's illegal to have a weapon, first of all. So it doesn't change anything. It's just, once again, they talk about all these debates we're supposed to have, but we just never seem to have the debate, which is kind of curious and weird. I look at things quite a little differently than most, and I get a lot of my way of looking at things from a guy named Mike Church, who used to be on Sirius. Now he's on Veritas Radio, and I think people should look him up and kind of support him in his, I think it's a a FundMe or whatever account to get switched over to that. But he talks more about the Constitution and the real way it was set up. And it's kind of amazing because when you look at the Constitution and the way it was really set up, it's not antiquated. It had a way to compensate for no matter what technology came along, no matter how big the guns became, any of that stuff. And if you wanted to change something, you had to enact an amendment, and then it had to be ratified, and then it became part of the Constitution. Now, the Constitution isn't supposed to be something that affects each state, because each state has its own constitution. So in my state, we have very friendly gun laws, and some other state may not. The states have the right to do that, and if you're not happy with the gun laws or the gay rights laws or anything that affects you in that state, then you were able to move. Just vote with your feet and leave the state. A state will make a change if a lot of its productive people are leaving and just getting the hell out of Dodge because they don't like you anymore. But it was never a federal thing because the federal law and the Constitution was a charter of negative liberties to the federal government. So that was the one thing Obama said that was right. It is a charter of negative liberties. Now, when you hear it, you think, oh, I don't like the word negative talking about my liberty. It had nothing to do with you, me, and everyone else. It had to do with the federal government that was kind of like an incorporation that we set up, we the people, a long time ago, and that was to control them. So we've discussed that on some of the shows and stuff, but I think right now, because we are getting geared up for an election, that people need to start learning to look at the things that we face as a people before we vote. Because it's kind of scary to think that somebody you might be talking to that is as dumb as dirt gets to vote, and you spend all your time studying these issues and stuff, and your vote just gets canceled out because somebody, you know, out there that doesn't have a clue goes, well, I'm going to vote for this person because they said they're going to give me a lot of free shit. And you're like, gee, it doesn't work that way economically speaking, but your vote just canceled mine. And for everyone that really studies the Constitution, there's someone that don't give two shits about the Constitution that just goes and votes for a raise in pay, basically, is how it works. So we need to be a little bit more informed, and we need to start trying to talk to people about things. Because even though it's a boring subject sometimes, and people go, oh, I don't like talking politics, please stop. It is what governs your life. It's as important as your wife telling you that she's going to become a vegan, and so are you. And you're like, well, but I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat tofu. I want to eat a hamburger. And she's decided for you. And that's it. And now, you know, you could do something about it. But the simple fact is, that's, you know, it affects your life on a personal level. And so if we vote for the candidate that says he's a socialist, and so does Hillary, I think, you know, pretty much she's trying to say, look, I'm aligned with Bernie Sanders, so we are both socialists. And you don't study socialism, or if you've studied socialism and you don't talk to your friends about it when they say, well, old Bernie, man, he sounds pretty good. You need to engage and have that debate and not be offensive, kind of treat it like religion. You don't want to just go in there and say, you're going to hell and screw you because of this, that, and the other thing, because you're not going to teach them. It's not a teaching moment. So you need to be informed and go, yeah, some of this stuff he's saying really sounds kind of cool, you know, that there should be, you know, all these things and stuff, but how are we going to pay for that, dude? And if you can get them to actually engage in a thoughtful conversation, you might have a chance to at least explain to them. It's like, you know, when you study the actual outline of what the goal of socialism is, which is the 8 steps to socialism that I posted and talked about in one of the episodes, I think, socialism or the nightmare that socialism is. When you actually read what they're going to do, it sounds awful. Now, the people that are like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, they look at it from the other end. You know, if somebody says they're a socialist and they tell you what they want to pay down the national debt, you have to be able to look at it and go, well, that's really funny because according to the socialist rules, you want to increase the national debt to create poverty. You don't want to do away with poverty. And, you know, they might not even know that if you're talking to somebody. They might go, Well, no, he said he wanted to pay that off and he wanted to eliminate poverty. And it's like, really? Because the person that's basically telling him what to do if he gets elected is not what they're telling you they're going to do. So if somebody's going to build you a house and they say, I'm going to build you this house, and then they turn around and the contractor that actually is building the house, when you're not looking, builds it totally different, you'd be like, well, that's not what we discussed. And it's like, no, actually, we told you we were going to have four walls and a roof over your head, and that's what you got. And so it's kind of a wordsmith thing where they can do that and actually tell you, basically, we're taking you to hell. And they tell you it in a way to where you're like, well, that sounds really like a pleasure cruise. Let's go. So you have to be able to have some discernment in America and look at it and go, you know, all these free programs sound really great. And this social net and the safety net sounds really great. But you have to step back from that and go, I know this has helped a lot of people in my family, but the simple fact is, who's paying for it? Now, the government will tell you that they're paying for it. But the government doesn't have money. It takes money from you, me, and anyone else that works, that's productive, in the form of taxes. And then they pay for this stuff. And so they don't have money. It's not like the government has a product that they sell to where they make money, like Apple. You know, they have a lot of products they sell and they make a lot of money. But the government doesn't have that. So they're not a business. So the only money they can pay for things with is our money. And a lot of people that are on these programs go, well, I pay taxes too. It's like, yeah, kind of, sort of. You pay sales tax, but you don't pay income tax. You file income tax and they take income tax out of your check. But based on all these giveaways that they have in there, you're getting an earned income credit and you're getting all this. So it zeros out and you actually get a refund on the money you paid in. Whereas somebody that works hard and is in a higher tax bracket and doesn't get all those, you know, earned income credits and all that, they still end up at the end of the year having paid in, out of their pocket, money. And so the government might take $1,000 from you and $1,000 from loser Bob. And then at the end, when you're done filing your taxes, they keep your whole $1,000 and maybe even charge you a little bit more. And then they turn around to loser Bob and go, well, yeah, you paid $1,000, but you got the earned income credit and you get all this stuff. And then you're on poverty level. And so we're going to send you back $1,200. Did they pay in or did they get $200? So you have to be smart enough to look at the numbers and go, yeah, you're paying, but not really. Everyone's paying sales tax. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Sales tax just gets rung up and cha-ching, there it is. So they are paying taxes, but so are you. But the bulk of the taxes from income tax and all that, Social Security and whatever they call it, SD, I don't even care. You're paying all of that, and you're not getting any deduction. But the other guy isn't paying that. He's getting waivers. He's getting all this stuff. So that's your money being pulled out of your pocket, and then it's paying for things that you don't agree with. Abortions, mass welfare, entitlements to refugees, entitlements to illegals. And then when the veterans go, well, we need a little bit of money because we're homeless, they're like, oh, no, screw you. So they're not even asking us what we want to spend our money on. And that's why it's kind of important to look at things. And that's why I use the Constitution, because even though people bitch about the Constitution, it works really fine. The problem with it is there's so much liberty that it scares people, because you are free to do the dumbest shit imaginable and go bankrupt. And in the Constitution, there wasn't a safety net. You were kind of on your own. Now, whether you like safety nets or not is great, but if you really like a safety net for those people that might screw up, donate to churches and get into charities. But the federal government is, that's not its business. So you give the government your $1,000 in taxes, and then it's not like that whole $1,000 goes to the poor. The federal government keeps 80% of it to run their big giant machine that's a piece of shit and barely runs right. And then 20% of it trickles down to the program that you thought you were paying into, even though you didn't want to pay into it. So the Constitution works quite great if we would have just followed it. Now, how do you get your head around, or get people's heads around, the fact that we need to get back to some basics? Because it's pretty damn scary in today's society, because there are no safety nets when you go back to basics. So there would have to be a way to slowly work it out you know, Ron Paul said, well, I would, you know, cut the military spending, but the guys would still get paid the same, and we would still have all these cool weapon systems. But I'm going to go over here and close some of these bases and this and that because we don't need them anymore. And then everyone's like, oh, my God, he's going to just throw the military under the bus. So you have to look at it and go, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying we're going to keep the same amount of money going to the important things. But at the end of that spear that we call our military, all that wasteful spending is going to get cut. So we're not going to be spending $200 on a toilet seat. We're not going to spend $45 billion on a weapon system and then somebody go in the Pentagon, we don't like the color of it. We changed our mind. Technology's changed. And then all of a sudden you're out billions of dollars. And then that weapon system, well, since some company developed it and had a contract, they continue to pay them and buy a lot of it. And then it just sits in some boneyard somewhere and they think, well, maybe someday we'll use it. Or they just cut the contract altogether. But either way, they've paid all that money to this company to develop that weapon system. So there is a lot of waste that could be cut in any program. I mean, I don't know how many educational programs there are from the federal down to the state, to the city and the town and everything. But it's not helping the kids. They're not learning anything. So they put $1,000 into the education system, and then the government keeps 800 of it, and then they pass, you know, 200 down to the states, and then the state has a bureaucracy, so they keep 150 of it, and then they pass it down to the towns and the cities, and they keep, you know, $35 of it. And by the time it gets to the school, it's just a couple bucks. So when you look at this, and they go, well, we need to have a better education system for the kids. It's like, well, that would be great if that whole $1,000 ended up going right to where it needs to be, but it doesn't. And we know that. So how do you fix that? I really have no clue other than, you know, voting for good people. And the only way you know if they're good is to look at their record. Don't listen to the words that are coming out of their mouths. Look at their record. What have they said they would do and they actually did? Because most politicians, especially running for a big office, they've been doing other things. So I could look at Donald Trump and go, well, you know, he did run a business. It is international, so he's got international skills. And he made money. He cut jobs when he had to, you know. So that's the only way you can look at it. And if it's a politician, you go, well, you know, you sat there when you ran for governor and you said you were going to do all this cool shit. And then you turned right around and did totally the opposite. And even though they can talk out of both sides of their mouth at the same time, you still said you were going to do this and you didn't. So, you know, it's just like when Obama took office, he had control of the White House, the Senate, and the Congress. So all these things that he was saying were so important, he didn't do them. He didn't change immigration. He didn't do anything until it got closer to an election to where he could use that as a club to beat the other party and then make it an issue. But when he had total control, why didn't he do it then? Oh, because he didn't really give a shit. It was just talking points. And I'm not saying that politicians haven't done that all throughout history. I'm not picking on Obama because I'm not a partisan kind of guy. I don't like Obama for a lot of reasons. I didn't like George Bush for a lot of reasons. And I didn't like his dad for a lot of reasons. I didn't like Clinton for a lot of reasons, nor did I like Reagan for a lot of reasons. So I'm not picking on a party when I talk about Obama. So you don't have to have that visceral reaction and go, he's picking on Obama. You know, it's probably because of his skin color. No, it isn't. I can tell you that for a fact. But he said that he was going to do things. And then when he had the authority and the power to do it, he didn't do it. And then if you look at it, even if you're a supporter, they'll sit there and go, well, I didn't have the backing. And it's like, really? You're the president. You had a phone and a pen back then, there, you know, and you still didn't do nothing about it because it was a divisive issue that all politicians save in their back pocket until push comes to shove. And then they throw it out there, create division among us, the voters, and then they just divide and conquer again. And now that he doesn't have control of the House, he could sit there and go, oh, it's a do-nothing Congress. Oh, well, what was it when you were in charge? Oh, it was still a do-nothing Congress. Nothing got done. So look at their records. It's pretty easy. You can Google it, and you can find all these websites out there that will tell you, so-and-so said he would vote this way, and then he voted that way. Or pick a key issue that bothers you with, if it's guns or welfare or EPA, and then just see how someone voted on it, and then go, oh, you know, that clown, when he was running, I went to one of his town meetings, and he said he was going to do all this shit, and then as soon as he got in office, look at the way he voted. It's like we weren't even around. Then you know. So it's very important with an election coming up to start looking at things, and you really have to look at things on a different level. It's just not a knee-jerk reaction to how you want things to run in this country, because your decisions affect me and my decisions affect you. So you have to put that aside and go, well, yeah, as much as I would like to have free lunch and free dinner and a new car that the federal government can give me, well, that would be really great. But who's going to pay for it? What does that do to the other guy? You know, what does that do to the auto company if the federal government comes along and says, well, you have to make all these free cars for these people? And they're like, we don't have any money. Well, too bad. You know, go broke. You're one of the one percenters. And it hurts companies. And they'll do that because then they can shut that company down and bankrupt them and then turn around and give the more lucrative contract to their friend that owns the other auto company. And then that's what they mean by picking winners and losers. So no matter what it is, I mean, I like the environment. I'm one of those evil conservatives that supposedly wants the world to just, you know, die. But I know I have land. I take care of my land. I worry about my land. I have stewardship over my land. I don't want people dumping shit on it. I don't want people contaminating it and screwing it up. So I own that land. I care about that land. So the EPA isn't doing anything any good. I mean, look at the rivers in the news and stuff that they dumped all them chemicals in. That's a good thing. If you and I dumped a pint of whatever that shit was in a river, we would be in jail, still probably waiting just to get a hold of our lawyer. And yet they contaminate that whole river. And then when people ask them, they go, yeah, it was an accident. When was the last time you were able to tell a federal agency or the IRS or the State Department of Revenue or anybody you deal with on a bureaucracy level, go, oh, we're really sorry we dumped all that grease in our restaurant down the regular drain instead of the P-trap. It was an accident. Oh, well, here's a fine of $10,000 a day until you get it cleaned up. But the EPA, they're not even paying the fines because they are the fine collector. So what, are they going to give themselves a fine and then receive the money? So we as Americans must become engaged because our country is in bad shape. When was the last time someone called you and said, hey, do you want all these refugees from Syria moving here? No, nobody's called me. Did they call you and I missed it? You didn't send me an email and go, Mark, no, they asked me. No, but they're not asking us anything. Now, it's pretty simple. If you can't vet them and we don't know what their politics are and if they want to kill us all, screw it. I don't need to make that decision. Just keep them out. We already have an immigration system. Use that. Why are you bringing them in the back door and not asking us? Why are you doing all these things and not asking us? So if you don't think it's a mess, then that's fine. But I personally do, and I think most people that I know, even friends of mine that are Democrats, go, this is crazy. Because see, nobody, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you don't want to see this, you know, this great country go down the toilet. Do we have our problems? Sure we do. Do we have the same problems North Korea has? Hell no. Do we have the same problems China has? Hell no. I mean, they can only have one child. And if it's a girl, they kill it. And then they wait for the next boy to come along. Is that how bad America is? You know, people talk about, oh, it's my right to have an abortion. No, you had the decision to keep your legs closed and not jump in bed and have sex. That was your decision. You can have sex with whoever you want. Why do I have to pay for your abortion? Yeah, you made the decision to have an abortion. Well, good for you. You got to make a decision. So maybe if I went to a restaurant like Ruth Chris Steakhouse and said, I'm making a decision to have that $100 steak. Well, okay, who's going to pay for it? Oh, somebody else? See, I can make that decision, but who gets to pay for it? So it's a mess. And you know, when you look at all this stuff and you're like, oh, God. You know, it is confusing and it is messed up. So I think, you know, to kind of make sense out of all this, you just need to be able to sit there and go, how does this affect me and my family? How does this affect my bottom line? And then try to remove your selfish wants out of it You know, because I would love to vote for a guy that would promise to give me a free Tesla and pay off all my bills, and then I wouldn't have to work, and I could sit around and podcast all day without having guilt feelings because I should be doing something else. Well, that'd be awesome. But who's going to pay for it? You know, well, maybe you will. You're my listener. You can pay for it. Yeah, we'll get them to pay for it. No, see, because that's not fair. Now, the government just comes in with a big club and a gun and says, pay for it. So we have to be able to remove our wants out of that and needs and just go, this is great. And it would be a wonderful program. And it would be wonderful. We could, you know, everyone could just buy me a Coke and we could sing Kumbaya. But that's not how it works. And it's sad because, geez, I would like somebody else to buy my stuff. But it doesn't work that way. And so singing Kumbaya is not going to change it either, because singing doesn't fix anything. So you need to look at it and go, these issues that I'm looking at, these politicians, what are they saying they're going to do? Let me go check their records. Most of them have records, and go, oh, I don't like what you did. So you're out. I mean, I've pretty well eliminated most of the candidates just based on their past record and things they've said or lack of understanding about what they're talking about, because it affects my life. So, you know, I'm pretty much back down to Cruz and Paul. Now, I like both of them because they're constitutionalists. I think Paul is a little bit more hardcore constitutionalist. And I, not that I'm an isolationist, but I think that we could stop screwing around with the rest of the world. We could pull back. We could save billions of dollars and still have a strong military. Because, you know, my dad was in the military. My brother is in the military. Our son was in the military. So it's not like I want to turn my back on the military and the veterans, but I think there's enough money to do what they were supposed to do, to take care of and fulfill the commitments that the government made to them, and still have a strong military and pretty much be the baddest mofos on the planet. But I don't think we need to be around basically on Muscle Beach flexing our muscles. Just knock it off. Let's just stay home. We got plenty of problems here. We got a lot of border around this country we need to protect. And quite frankly, I don't like the whole standing army situation. You know, I like knowing that we have an army and we have certain people that are trained, but a standing army, which is like thousands and thousands of troops and all that, we're not supposed to have. And we wouldn't need that if things were running the way they were supposed to. And yet, if you volunteered to go into the army because we were being invaded from Canada or Mexico, there would be the money and the equipment to do that. The promise and the commitment they make to you to take care of you or whatever, if you get hurt, the money would be there. Everything would be there. And then if anyone screwed with us, we could still really ruin them. I mean, there's no doubt that we have a powerful military apparatus. We just don't need that many people running around running it all the time unless we're paying attention. We see the writing on the wall and then we step it up and go, okay, everyone join up. Let's go, you know, lock and load. So I'm very supportive of the military and our troops, and in our business, we give discounts for military, active military, retired military. I don't even care if it was their father was in the military and died. I will give them a discount because I support the military and their families, and the first responders, you know, police, border patrol. We'll give anyone that's willing to stick their neck on the line for me to be safe, I'll give them a discount at my place of work or my business that me and my wife own. So I support it, but does it need to be that big? It's always this false decision they give us. It's like, well, if you vote for Rand Paul, then he's just going to unplug the military, walk away, sweep it out and throw it away, and we'll just be standing there naked and have no defense. Which, is that what you want? Well, no, that's not what I want. You know, it's just silliness. And so that's, you know, kind of how I look at things is like, you know, don't buy into the silliness. You know, do some research, do some studying. Why? Because this is your country too. Why? Because your kids are going to grow up in what, a socialist country? Think about your children, or your future children, if you don't have any yet, or maybe even you or your grandkids, and then watch the movie Hunger Games, because that is pretty much socialism at its best. It's actually communism, but that's where socialism goes. I mean, socialism is suicide and communism is murder, basically. That's the only difference between them. So imagine your grandkids having to fight Hunger Games because that's what some stupid dictator thinks is funny. That is what we're doing. I mean, it's just not the vote for the day. It's like you're ordering your menu and your dinner for your next generation. So don't go ordering some crappy food that they're not going to want to eat. Think about your loved ones. This is for them. So it affects us, but it affects the next generations. We need to get this debt under control. We need to fix this country, and we need our freedom and liberty back, and we need to stop arguing with one another about who's right and who's wrong. That's great. It's called free speech. We can argue all we want, but we need to focus on what's at hand right now and not be drawn off point. So right now we have an election coming up. There's only a few candidates that can really maybe take this country back to where we're on the right track again. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to run off the tracks and derail and screw this country up. So that is all that I can think of to say about it without just going too far off the rails, speaking of running off the track. So I hope you enjoyed my random little thoughts on this. And if we don't focus and we don't get control of our country and stop worrying about what we want, and start worrying about what's right for the country and going back to a constitution that pretty much runs pretty simply. I just want them to protect my borders and some law and order to where if I go to market, I don't get robbed. And if I get robbed, I want to have recourse and I want a legal system that will give me justice and yet give the bad guy mercy. That's the way it was set up. Totally cool with that. I just want it to work. So I don't want much from my government other than to leave me alone and to protect me when I need it from the big bad bullies that live on the other side of the border and keep commerce regularly, which back then, you know, when states became states, they didn't want, you know, my state selling copper to the other state at a higher price than I would California because I was mad at New Mexico. No, it's all the same. That's keeping it regular, not regulate it to death. Just keep it regular to where, you know, you couldn't charge more to one state because you didn't like them than another state. That's all I really want them to do, and then get the hell out of my way. The EPA has not saved anything in the environment since they were set up. The Board of Education has educated no one since they were set up. The Department of Energy has not created 1 kilowatt of power since it was set up. These are just bureaucracies to run around, sticking their microscopes up our butt to see what we're up to. And if we can get rid of that, the country would start to prosper again and do well again. And then there would be jobs and fairness and all that stuff that we all want. So don't get caught up in the fact that it's like, well, it's not fair that he makes more than his secretary. Well, if you don't like it, open your own damn business and then you can pay your secretary what you get paid. Because that's how it works. So that having been said, if we don't straighten out, we are going to have a problem. Even while we're straightening out, we may have a problem because there's just a lot of enemies out there and there's just nature itself could just fart and ruin our day. So think about it. At least try to understand what is required of you as an American so we can continue next year to have another Thanksgiving that we're thankful for. And if not, then back to my old adage, enjoy the apocalypse.